Joel, I appreciate your song selection for this morning and this evening. They're right on the money. It's a great way to lead into these things. I'd like to consider our lesson tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 20 and 21, 1 Peter chapter 2. But I want to start in the middle of verse 20. And it says, "But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." We need to consider these words very carefully, because they are some very jarring words. It is a gracious thing in God's sight if we endure when suffering for doing good. What makes it a jarring statement is the clause, "For this you have been called." We have been called to what? Suffer. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound good to me. But we need to notice the rest of what Peter says. We have been called to endure suffering for good, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example so that we might follow his steps. How many times have we talked about seeing the life of Christ as an example to follow? Here, Peter is telling us that we are also to see the suffering and death of Jesus as an example to follow as well. "To this you have been called," what Peter is saying. The knowledge that we have been called to a life of suffering, which will include unjust suffering, is what can be jarring to our hearts and our minds. Suffering oftentimes can be a deal breaker in our lives, can't it? As Christians, when we suffer, often our first reaction is, "This can't be right." We then have the tendency to retract from doing good when it causes us to suffer. I think the reaction is natural, don't you? To hold back from doing something because we got our fingers smacked, even though we were doing good. It's kind of like yanking your hand back from a stove burner. Now, suffering can knock us off of our mission. Suffering can cause us to stop from doing good for others. Suffering can cause us to stop teaching the gospel. But it can also stop us from living our lives as an example. Suffering just seems wrong. And if we are suffering for doing good, then it seems that we must be doing something wrong. Suffering causes an interesting transformation of our hearts. Think about how much sin is justified because of the wrongs that someone experiences. someone did me wrong, so I have the right to respond sinfully. I have the right to be angry because someone caused me pain. I have the right to harm you because you have harmed me. You know, there appears to be an automatic and deep-rooted sense then that we have, if we've been mistreated or hurt or let down, that we have the right to pay them back. That we have the right to administer on them what we think is just. Oftentimes we allow our own suffering as an excuse to sin. Have you noticed a shift in society lately? And I think it's something we need to notice because I think it's important for us to see. How many movies, if you've seen many movies lately, how many movies in the scene and where the villain is not really evil, he's just misunderstood? Or how about the shooter in some shooting that is not seen as an evil act because he was misunderstood? He lost a lot. He lost his parents. He lost his job. Well, certainly that could excuse that evil, couldn't it? At least that's what society is trying to get us to think. And while, you know, maybe we have a little bit of compassion about these facts, it does not mean that our suffering is an excuse to sin. But this is what is being presented to us on a daily basis, whether it's in the movie theater, whether it's on our TV screen, or it's on the news. That they're justified. Our suffering justifies a response. Our suffering can lead us toward two directions to sin. We are tempted to respond by hurting verbally or physically the people who hurt us, or we just quit doing good. Both of those are sinful. For those reasons, we are no longer lights in the world. We've turned the switch off. We've locked the door, and we've gone home. Peter is telling us that we need to rethink the role of suffering and why we need to do good even if it's in the face of personal mistreatment. Let's listen again to verse 20 and 21. But if you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Read the book of Job sometime. You got some time, you want to sit and you want to read about suffering. Read about Job. And how often, just like Job, do we have the wrong idea about suffering and God's use of suffering in the world? You know, we know why Job suffered because we've got the book. Job didn't even have the cliff notes. Job didn't know what was happening. He just knew it was happening. But we read it beforehand and we know why Job suffered so much. Peter doesn't ask us to view suffering as just something that is going to happen. He does not tell us that we have to resign ourselves to the fact that we are going to suffer. The path of suffering for doing good is our calling, not our fate. It is our calling because it is Jesus' calling. In this very letter, 1 Peter 1, Peter teaches that suffering is a tool used by God to test our faith, so that it is refined for God's glory. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, it calls it a trial of our faith, to be tried with fire. In chapter 4 and verse 12, it tells us not to think it strange to face these trials by fire. The King James calls it the fiery trials. But he also tells us that our suffering can come as a result from our own sin in 1 Peter 2 and verse 20 and chapter 3 and verse 17. But think about what Peter tells us in this passage. Our example in suffering is the one who is totally innocent and free from sin. Verse 22, 1 Peter 2, says that he committed no sin, that there was no deceit found in his mouth. Jesus didn't suffer as a direct result of his own sins, nor did he suffer because he needed a refining of his faith. He suffered not for his own sake, but for our own sakes. For the sake of God's purpose and salvation. Verse 21 did say that Christ suffered for you. He didn't suffer for himself. He suffered for us. Now we can easily read it this way: Christ suffered, so we also suffer. And while that is a true statement, it's not the full idea that Peter is giving to us. Jesus didn't do anything wrong, but he suffered for doing good. We are also to suffer for doing good for the sake of others. And this is the picture that Peter is drawing for us. Verse 21, look again, it says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow his steps." That Greek word that is used there and translated example is the only time that that word is used this way in the New Testament. And I know that, you know, folks say, well, I don't speak Greek, and that's fine. That's why I always look in a commentary, because some of the words they use is the word we use today, but it has a little bit different meaning. To try to explain it, I have to go back from either the first grade. Now, that's a long time, so I had to think really hard to try to remember this. But as the teacher was teaching us for the first time to write, she would pass out mimeograph papers. For you young children, that was the ancient copy paper. Okay, but this one smelled different than the ones you have, because we would used to smell that stuff all the time. It smelled great. But on that paper would have the letters in lined rule, and they were real faint, and we would have to trace over those letters, and that's how they taught us to write our letters. This is what Peter is saying that Jesus did for us. Jesus' footsteps are a figure to be traced by us. We have been called to suffer for the good of others, just as Jesus suffered for our good. Jesus calls every Christian to walk this path of suffering with him. suffering is not merely a series of unfortunate events, but a calling that we have been given to trace in our lives. We show Christ when we suffer for doing good and do not respond sinfully. We do not show Christ when we suffer for doing good, but respond in anger, slander, criticism, inflicting harm and pain on those who harm us. The model is not to suffer like Christ, but to be like Christ in how we respond to the suffering for doing good. If we hurt the people who hurt us, we are not following His example. We have been called to suffer for doing good without retaliation. And this is the point that Peter makes in 1 Peter 2. Verses 23 through 25. He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like straying sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In everything that Jesus endured, he never responded in an evil way. He didn't excuse himself to act in a way that was not pleasing to God because of the suffering that he experienced. But how do we do this? How do we step where Jesus stepped and follow this pattern? The answer was revealed in the words that we just read. Peter said that Jesus continued to entrust to the Father who judges justly. In other words, he left his case in the hands of God. This is our faith, trusting in God in the midst of unjust suffering. Can you imagine for just a moment that the first time that Jesus met opposition and was ridiculed, if he just quit, throw up his hands and said, "I don't need this. Y'all on your own. You've been good if you'd just listened to me, but you're on your own. I'm getting tired of being beaten around, talked about, lied about." He didn't even return a threat. The famous last words on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Could we do that to those who hurt us? In all of his suffering, all of it, I'm not just talking about the night of his death and the trial and the torture he endured. I'm talking about it all. He did not sin. How do we do with the people that causes us to suffer when we try to do good things? Let God judge them. Entrust to God that He will take care of it. And when the good that we do goes unnoticed, we're not hurt by this, because we know that God sees it. He sees what we are doing for Him, and He sees that we are not doing it for our own glory. But if we're out there tooting our own whistle, then God sees that too. And He knows exactly who's getting the glory then, or who desires the glory. When the good that we are doing is rejected, we cannot respond sinfully, because we do have a righteous judge on our side. Unjust suffering is not a sign that we've done something wrong. Unjust suffering does not mean that God is not faithful. Unjust suffering is our calling. We have been called, and the reason I say this, we have been called to speak good, righteous words, and live good and righteous lives, knowing that people are going to hurt us in the process, but we cannot allow them to stop us from living the life that we chose. They're living the life they chose. We live the life we chose, and we will suffer for it, and we need to accept that and learn how to continue to live good and righteous lives. We can't allow the suffering to cause us to stop doing good. We cannot allow suffering to cause us to stop speaking good of other people. Mistreatment to us is not an excuse for us to do evil. Being hurt is not an excuse to do wrong. We have been called to trace the footsteps of Jesus. We are to be that message of light and hope in this world. I always like in the evening when it gets dark early in the evening, it kind of brings it to light. Where's the light? Look out the window. What do you see? Dark. And we're sitting in here, children of God in the light. I kind of like to use that analogy sometimes, because when we leave here, that's exactly where we're going. We're going out in that cold, that dark world, and we are the lights that are going to shine outside. And we need to continue to do that, even when we suffer. It is a gracious thing in the sight of the Lord when we do good and suffer, and we endure it. For many, suffering is a bad thing. For God's children, suffering is a good thing, because it deepens our resolve, it deepens our faith and our reliance on the One who gave us life. And when we suffer and continue to do good, and follow the example, there will be a time when we will suffer no more, when everybody else who was against us and hurt us and caused us to suffer will suffer for eternity for that action. Are you a child of God tonight? Have you obeyed the gospel? Tonight is the night. Today is the day, the time is the proper time to make that decision in your life through repentance and confession and for baptism for the remission of sins. You can start following and tracing those footsteps of Christ. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you've been walking your own path. Maybe you have allowed your suffering to cause you to sin. You can come back to that, and together we can all work diligently to make sure that as we suffer, we will continue to do always the right thing and not allow it to cause us to sin. But if it has caused you to sin, go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come. As together we stand and we sing.